welcome to Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and today we'll discover mysteries in the Gospel of John. Have you ever longed for a practical guide on experiencing transformation and spiritual freedom? Well, I got some good news for you today. Rabbi Schneider, he's here to encourage us in our spiritual walk, and he'll be diving into the Gospel of John to show us how we can be on guard against the schemes of the enemy. For resources related to this important subject, visit us online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And now, let's welcome Rabbi Schneider for today's message titled, Being Open to Receiving Healing.
Baruch Hashem, bless the name of the Lord. Father, we are thankful for your word today that revives us. Yeshua, we bless your name, and we pray that your word would enter our hearts with fire and that you transform us into your image for your glory. Amen and amen. I love all the Gospels, but if I had to pick my favorite, I'd have to pick the Gospel of John because I love the mysteries that are revealed in it and the depths of spirituality that are revealed through John's writing. Of course, John was also the author of the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation. So there was something going on between John, Yeshua, and the Spirit that's very, very unique. We're going to be picking up today in chapter number 5. Now, this is called expositional or expository preaching, meaning what I'm doing is I'm moving through the Gospel of John from beginning to end. I won't cover every line, but I'll cover many portions that I think have deep relevancy for our lives today. So with that said, we're going to pick up chapter 5, verse 1. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord abides forever. Beloved ones, hear the word of God. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus, or Yeshua, went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered. Now, let me point out something. In verse number 3, there is a continuation that reads, in these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered. And then it continues, and I'm going to read where it continues. But we should note that the continuation of verse number 3, as well as that which is in verse number 4, is not in many of the early manuscripts. So many of the early manuscripts of the Gospel of John do not contain this second portion of verse number 3 or verse number 4, but let me read it. So it continues all around where these ones that were withered and needed a healing were laying. It says, they were waiting for the moving of the waters, for an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in, was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. So that portion right there, once again, is not in some of the early manuscripts. But now we continue on with the portion that we know is in all the manuscripts. So to put it in perspective, let me read now the portion that's in all the manuscripts and then continue with the portion that's in all the manuscripts. So I'm going to the first part of verse 3, where this pool was called Bethesda. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered. And then it continues on, a man was there who had been ill for 38 years. Can you imagine? When Jesus saw him, when Yeshua saw him lying there and knew they had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, do you wish to get well? Now that's kind of a mind bender, isn't it? You think about it. Here's this man, 38 years sick. Jesus approaches him and says to him, sir, do you wish to get well? It's easy to gloss over that, but the reason I'm stressing it is, A lot of us are complaining in our misery and pain, but you know what the truth is? You don't really want to get well. You're so comfortable, some of us, with our state of misery and darkness, we almost have made it our friend. We don't even want to get well because darkness has become a friend. And so before Jesus could heal this man, he had to get this man in agreement with the light. You might be struggling right now with depression. You might have been depressed from your earliest memory. Perhaps you grew up in a family and there was just a spirit of depression in your family. You know, spirits are oftentimes generational. They run through families. This is why oftentimes we hear people say, I don't want to be like my dad, or I don't want to be like my mom. Unfortunately, too often the case is they end up just like them. Why? Because they were raised under a spirit, and the spirit continues on through the family. They're generational spirits. So perhaps, beloved one, you're listening right now, and you're saying, I wish I wasn't depressed. I wish I wasn't sad all the time. I wish I wasn't lonely all the time. And you've been in this state a long time, just like this man that Jesus was ministering to that had been in this state for 38 years. And perhaps for some of you, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart this second as you're hearing me. He's wanting to bring you out of your darkness into the light, but he has to get you into agreement first with really wanting to recover. Yeshua wants to bless you now with supernatural recovery, but you have to make up your mind. You have to make a decision of your will, beloved one. Yes, I want to get well. So Jesus said, do you wish to get well? Think about it again. 38 years, this guy's been in pain. You'd think that Jesus would know the guy wants to get well. But no, before healing him, he asked, do you want to get well? A lot of us complain about our conditions, but you know what? We really don't want anything different than what we've got. If we did, oftentimes, we'd do something to make the situation better. Are you so sick and tired of being in the state that you're in, that you can say to Yeshua HaMashiach of Nazareth right now, enough is enough, Jesus, I want to get well, then take a hold of his seat, take a hold of him by faith and receive his healing into your life, and you'll have, beloved, supernatural recovery.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and Rabbi will be right back. If you're looking to better equip yourself in your study, pursuit, and growth in Jesus the Messiah, be sure to go online and explore our treasury of Messianic content. You'll find Messianic teaching tools and videos, information about God's seven annual feasts, the Hebrew names, titles of God, and so much more. This content is ready and available for you today online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. Just as this program has been a blessing to you, you can multiply the blessing with others. It's simple when you become a monthly partner. Give a financial gift of any amount today or set up your monthly automated gift by calling this number, 800-777-7835. That's 800-777-7835. Or you can visit discoveringthejewishjesus.com when you give your equipping others for Jesus' return. And now, here is Rabbi Schneider.
We have to understand that demons are very deceptive. Demons don't come to us with horns on their head. The New Testament teaches us that demons come, listen to me now, disguised as angels of light. So what too often happens is people make friends with their demons. They're sick, but they've made friends with their demons. Even if you're thinking about this, for example, in the physical realm, you have, for example, an ailment in your body. And yet, rather than believing Jesus for who he is for your healing, instead you're talking all the time about your sickness, confessing your sickness, rather than praying, rather than believing, rather than taking a hold of Yeshua through faith, by His stripes we're healed, you've embraced your sickness. You're talking about your medications and your doctors all the time. I know that sickness is real. I know that there's discussions that need to be had, but I'm just simply saying to you, beloved, that if you and I want to be healed, if we want to be changed, the first thing that has to happen is we have to want to be healed. We have to want to be changed. So Jesus says to him, do you wish to get well? The man got into agreement with the truth. Jesus released the healing. Get up, take up your pallet and walk. And that man was instantly healed. Notice what happens next as this dialogue continues. Afterwards, we're in verse number 14. Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, listen to this. Behold, you've become well. Do not sin any more so that nothing worse happens to you. Talk about having the right type of the fear of God. We should have the type of the fear of God that keeps us walking righteous by His grace before Him. Part of the fear of God is realizing that God is not mocked. He that sows to the Spirit of life will reap from the Spirit of life life. He that sows to sin will reap destruction. It's an immutable law that cannot be changed. And having the fear of God will keep us from sinning. None of us are perfect, but I'm talking about a habitual lifestyle of sin. If you don't have the fear of God in you, if you don't recognize that God punishes sin, if we don't realize that sin opens up the door to demons and curses, beloved, we are walking down a very dangerous road that's going to lead to many hazards indeed. So Jesus heals this man in His mercy. Then He warns him, sir, He said to him, you've been made well. Don't sin anymore that nothing worse happens to you. We want a shield of protection around our soul. Don't you want a shield of God's protection around your life? One of the ways, beloved, we walk in God's protection, His shield, His covering, His light that protects us from the darkness and the curses of the demons that are in the darkness, what protects us from that through the blood of Jesus, listen now, is walking righteously before Him. Because when we sin, especially when it's willful, we open up a legal door to the enemy to come in and bring pain. So Jesus says, sin no more. I wonder right now, there's something in your life. For some of you, it's sexual sin. You have opened up a door in your life, sexual sin, whether it is something that's just going on in your mind or whether it's something that's going on in the actual physical universe. You are walking in a way, in terms of your sexual lifestyle, that's outside of God's boundaries and will for your life. And I am telling you this, you are living in a state in which you've opened a door for demons. And not only demons to come in and plague you, but if you have children, those same demons will come and potentially come upon your children. I've seen it too many times. I remember growing up as a young boy, and I remember a particular friend of mine, and his parents were very immoral people when it came to their sexuality. This was going back in the 1970s, and there was just a lot that was going on in the culture that I grew up in with the adults, that there was just a lot of sexual immorality. And this particular friend of mine, his parents were very big into that culture. It was absolutely horrendous. There were such sexual demons that came upon the children of those parents. And I believe the sexual demons that came upon the children was a result of the door that the parents opened up because of their sexual immorality. We need to realize that what we do does not just affect us. It affects those especially that are closest to us. So Jesus warns, sin no more, that nothing worse will befall you. So I'm encouraging you now, my beloved brothers and sisters, if there's an open door in your life of sin, whether it's sexual, whether even if it's an overeating. Do you know that gluttony is absolutely a sin, yet few people are calling it out as a sin? Because only when we face the truth about ourselves and take responsibility for our lives do we have an opportunity to truly aggressively make those changes that will bring us into right alignment with Hashem, with God. I'm not coming from a place of judging or condemning. I'm not. I'm really not. I'm just simply saying, Jesus said, if you practice sin, you're opening up the door for something worse to happen to you, he said to that man. Same thing is true with us. And a lot of people aren't calling out the sin of misusing the temple of the Holy Spirit, our body, by not controlling what we eat. And we could go with another great sin, which is having an unbridled tongue. Do you and I realize that when we allow our tongue to run by the powers of darkness, we are opening up doors for demons and all types of plagues to come in and destroy us? Because the tongue steers the whole ship, the scripture says, and it brings forth either life or death. The power of life and death is in the power of the tongue. But how many people are sitting in churches every single week, my beloved friends, and they are not bridling their tongue? Unless we have something to say that brings edification and life, or at least enlightenment, because there are some situations that we do have to talk about that unfortunately have some negative overtones to them. But unless we are conscientious of the words that we're releasing from our mouth and keeping them in line with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the Holy Spirit, beloved, we are opening up the door for something bad to happen to us. If we're speaking judgment against people, guess what? Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. But what happens if we do judge? It's like this. If you're pointing your finger at somebody else, listen, there's three fingers, right? Pointing back at you and me. So we need to listen to Jesus' words. He healed somebody, and he's healed many of us. But unless we're careful now about the way that we're walking, trying to live a life of righteousness, so that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart are pleasing to him, we are opening ourselves up to be attacked by the devil and all those things that come from the realm of darkness. Jesus said to the Israelites, listen, if you walk in my ways, I'm going to bless you when you're coming in. I'm going to bless you when you're coming out. Your offspring's going to be blessed. Your cattle's going to be blessed. Your whole life's going to be blessed. But if you don't walk according to my ways, all these curses are going to come upon you. And he named all the curses, giving themselves over to build something only to have them falling apart. He said, your offspring will be blessed. And he said, the diseases that I put upon the Egyptians, they're going to come upon you. Why? Because they opened themselves up to be attacked from the host of darkness because they didn't walk in the boundaries of God's ways. And so we take away from today's simple lesson two things. Number one, if we truly want to be free, to be happy, we have to want to change. We can't cling to the past. We can't cling to the pain. We can't cling to the sickness. We can't cling to the loneliness. We can't cling to the depression. Whatever negative thing it is that we say we want to be free from, we have to ask ourselves the question, do we really want to be free? Or are we just saying we want to be free? Because if you really want to be free, you'll be willing to take a step out and make a change to get free. And then secondly today, beloved friend, what we learned is this. To stay free, because Jesus encountered that man after he was healed, to stay free, we have to guard our ways. We have to guard our heart. We have to guard our eyes. We have to continually do battle with our mind, because the enemy is continually coming in, trying to put his thoughts in our mind. We have to continually reject the thoughts of the enemy, whether they're thoughts of self-rejection, hatred, fear, whatever it is, accusation against other people. We have to reject the enemy, keep him out. And as we do, as we keep ourselves aligned with the Lord, we're going to keep being blessed. We're going to go from glory to glory. And the same one that turned the water to wine during his first miracle is going to produce a supernatural joy and bring revelation into your life.
Amen. I hope that Rabbi Schneider's message, being open to receiving healing, I hope it inspired you and it left you feeling encouraged today like it has me. This is just a glimpse of the authentic and the uncompromising teaching that you'll find right here at Discovering the Jewish Jesus. And whether you're new to this ministry or you're a longtime listener, we want to say thanks for listening. It's our mission to share the good news with listeners all around the world. So if you'd like to share in our vision to do that, learn more about us online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And we even have a dedicated web page letting you know how you can support this ministry with a gift of any amount. Because we believe that when you obey God's call to sow into the kingdom, you close the door to the influence of the enemy, you invite God's blessings for not only yourself, but for the nations. Now here's Rabbi.
In the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 9, we read this: "Grow not weary in doing good, for in due time you're going to reap a harvest or reap a reward." Now, I want you to think about this. When the Holy Spirit gave us that word, He wants to apply it to every area of our lives. Sometimes we apply that word to some area of our lives, but sometimes we don't apply that word to our finances. I want to speak to you that are listening right now. Let's continue to put God first and honor Him with our finances. Let's continue to sow our financial resources into the kingdom so that God's word can be spread to the ends of the earth. Beloved, I want to ask you, will you continue to do good with your finances? Would you make a financial contribution to the Lord through Discovering the Jewish Jesus right now?
We're so grateful for every single gift that we receive. And to give a donation of any amount, visit discoveringthejewishjesus.com or call us at 800-777-7835. You can also send a gift in the mail by writing to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, P.O. Box 777, Blissfield, Michigan 49228. And finally, you can give a gift of any amount by donating through the Rabbi Schneider mobile app. And as our way of saying thank you for your financial gift, we'll send you Rabbi Schneider's message of the month, and it's available as a digital download. And well, you know, Rabbi's not afraid to share the truth, no matter what's going on in our world today. And you can be assured that his straightforward and uncompromising approach is stirring the hearts of believers all around the world and drawing them near to the Father. We're here to bring God glory, and we'd like for you to join with us in reaching people throughout the whole earth with the threefold ministry teaching of Jesus. Jesus taught the kingdom, healed the sick, and cast out demons. So reach out today. We value your prayers and your financial gifts, and you can give online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. But right now, let's pause to receive God's special and sacred blessing that's designed to speak truth and life over us as we conclude today's message from Rabbi Schneider.
The words from the Aaronic blessing in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 22 through 27, helps us to realize how good God is to you and I personally. So receive His blessing into your life, and then, beloved one, go bless somebody else in Jesus' name today.
Yavarechecha Yahweh, vayishmarecha. Ya'er Yahweh panav elecha, vihunecha. Yisa Yahweh panav elecha, ve'asem lecha. Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up with His countenance. And the Lord give you, beloved one, His peace. God bless you and shalom.
I'm Dustin Roberts, and Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a production of Shalom Ministries. Join us again when Rabbi Schneider continues our study on the mysteries in the Gospel of John. That's Tuesday on Discovering the Jewish Jesus.